Don Levitard.
Hell is going on with Miguel Olivo.
Stugatz.
It just kind of dawned on me today that I'm a loser, man.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We will get back to covering Rick Renteria in a couple of minutes.
Yes, we will. It's a full hour of Rick Renteria coverage interrupted briefly by something I forgot about.
But Tim Livingston is going to join us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
So just telling you now, okay, we are going to ride family stories with Rick Renteria into the sky like a Mission Impossible movie. You don't think we can do it. We're here for Mission Impossible. So before we get back to Rick Renteria talk, though, we're going to talk to this Tim Livingston. As Stugatz said, he's got a podcast, The Whistleblower. It's got new episodes every Thursday, wherever it is you get your podcasts. And it's super interesting because, Stugatz, among other things, like the Tim Donaghy scandal that we just sort of skipped past, David Stern basically just said, yeah, that guy was one rogue referee and yep. Whatever. It was just one guy with a gambling problem. It was a small little thing. This Whistleblower podcast has actually done some journalism around this, and I want to talk to this guy about that story.
Because Stern was always so protective. A lot of people would criticize his league. It was the rare criticism of David Stern. Hey, some of these matchups feel fixed. It feels rigged. We're not getting a true champion. And he would protect that, obviously.
Well, we made a joke of Donaghy for a long time where he would call into the show and stuff. But we got conned as well. Anyways, we'll get to that in a second. But here is rabid cursing Bills fan Christine Ricci.
And finally, Franklin D. Roosevelt was the last U.S. president who could fluently speak a second language. Now back to a co-host that can't fluently speak one language.
FDR. Yes. How about that?
Might have been funnier if you'd got it wrong. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it. Thank you. You got showing off his presidential acronym muscle.
Nicknames, I mean.
So Tim Livingston is with us now. Thank you for joining us. Download his podcast, as I said, The Whistleblower. New episodes every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for being on with us, Tim. Can you sort of explain to the audience how it is that your journalism came to be, where you're basically doing more in-depth reporting on this than it feels like even the federal government was doing?
Well, I appreciate that, Dan. 8 years ago, I wrote an article about Tim Donaghy, which said in so many words, I don't think this guy was the only one. And after I wrote the article, Donaghy actually reached out to me, and we started talking and formed this very bizarre friendship, which led to Donaghy kind of trusting me with all the dirty secrets of NBA referees and led down this rabbit hole that, you know, has become this podcast. But essentially, I've been investigating the story for 8 years. As you guys just said with David Stern, it was really hard for, I think, people that love basketball and love the sport and were in journalism to write about this, because I think there was an era of the NBA where if you did, you were going to be, your career was going to be in jeopardy. And I think enough time has passed where we've been able to put this whole thing together and put all these storylines into one 10-episode podcast and tell the real story of not just what happened with the Donaghy scandal, but what happened really over the course of the last 30 years of the NBA and all these controversial games and all these characters. Mark Cuban, Dick Pivetta, David Stern, everybody. We kind of just break everything down in a way that I hope is really interesting for those of us who love basketball. Because if you love basketball, you're not happy with the state of refereeing now, and you definitely weren't happy with it 20 years ago.
But I want to get into the journalism of it, Tim, because it's a new form of journalism. You're basically in. I haven't seen what you're doing with Whistleblower. I haven't seen this kind of depth, not nearly anything regarding this great scandal for the NBA modern times that they managed to slink away from to now the great leadership that they have from Adam Silver, who comes and brings us through a pandemic. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's been nothing close to this done on this subject.
First off, I really appreciate those words. Complimenting the journalism and the reporting it means the world, because that's what we're hanging our hat on is the fact that we actually went back and investigated this. And yeah, the Adam Silver era, I think the NBA is in a great place right now. under Adam Silver. I don't think it was in a great place for much of the last 30 years, just from a refereeing standpoint. From, you know, a big word in the NBA is integrity. So I think the journalism in this story really revolves around that word. Do we have integrity in the game of basketball? Did we have integrity 20 years ago, 18 years ago during the 2002 Western Conference Finals at all? So I really appreciate that. And yeah, what we tried to do, basically when Donaghy first told me his story and told me all the salacious things that were happening behind the scenes, that was 2012, 2013. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a documentary. And then I'm sure many of your listeners have heard the Serial podcast. And I heard that and I was convinced right away that the medium for this story, the way that we're really going to be able to get to, you know, really get in depth about all the different things that we needed to break down, was via podcast. So we teamed up with Tenderfoot TV, who makes probably, you know, in my opinion, the best investigative podcast out there. And we combined sports and true crime and told the story in a 10-episode podcast that we hope gives basketball fans and sports fans alike just everything that they've ever wanted to know. And we really, by the end of this thing, want you to know, to feel in your gut one way or the other, whether these games were rigged, whether the NBA was a legitimate competition, or whether it was choreographed ballet.
All right, so Stugatz, this is super interesting, right? Because
yes.
Tim Livingston, download his podcast, The Whistleblower, with new episodes every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. You remember us living through that time. We'll get back
of course.
Rick Renteria talk in a second.
I know,
but
we will.
We lived through this time where basically the scandal was one rogue referee, one rogue bad guy. The league buried him. Stern buried him. But it was nobody else. They were able to isolate it because what he's saying, fat guys like me were sitting around not doing the journalism of asking the correct questions. Hell, we around here, Tim Donaghy was a running joke, a mascot.
Yes.
We gave him credibility by running him through here and treating him like Butterbean and all these other people we were having on.
I think he picked games for us.
He picked games for us. And now we're talking to a guy who did the journalism. Hey, funny guy, fat guy. It's, you know, your games were rigged. Like, which games were rigged?
Well, first off, I found a Stugatz tweet from 2009.
Oh,
with
no.
One retweet and one like when you guys had Donaghy on the show back in 2009 as part of my research for this interview. So, yeah, you guys had him on. You guys had him on at Stugatz. I think you have a couple more followers and a little more traction on Twitter now. But, yeah, you guys had him on. Nobody knew this. And again, a lot of stuff had to happen, I think, for us to get here. I don't think this investigation, even 5 years ago, could have taken place, and we could have gotten the people in the NBA and in the community to talk about this stuff. I think a lot of things had to happen. David Stern had to retire. I hate to say, you know, it was really bizarre. David Stern had his brain hemorrhage right before we did our biggest interview for the podcast. So this entire podcast for me has been just a surreal experience because I've always suspected these things to be true. I wanted to get to the bottom of it. And like I said, by episode 10, by the culmination of this podcast, I feel like we do. So Dan, for you to compliment the journalism and, you know, throw a little self-deprecating humor, it wasn't your job to do this. You didn't, you know, you have bigger things on your plate.
It's just food, Tim. Explain this to me though. Are you basically saying, because I want to understand this. Are you saying that him getting a David Stern brain hemorrhage, like, is it because what you're reporting in this podcast would have done that kind of damage to his image that it would have been the death of him?
I didn't come on this show wanting to, you know, it wasn't my plan to tie any of these things together. David Stern is a fascinating character. He's obviously, he was very Machiavellian. I think we can all agree on that. But this, there is part of me that feels like he might have had to leave Earth for this to all come out. And I know that sounds dramatic and that might sound ridiculous, but when that happened, it was surreal. It's truly bizarre. And like I said, we release episode 8 tomorrow. And when we get to episode 10, I think I'm not this type of person. I'm sure you guys aren't either. I'm not big, reading the cosmos. I don't, the interconnectedness of the world. I don't think we need to get into this on this show right now, but there is a part of me that felt like David Stern probably needed to leave this earth for this to all come out.
But Dan wants to know which games were actually fixed.
I want
the games rigged.
I want all right. Look, I want to get into this. Tim, do me a favor here because we've got tight spaces here. I want to continue this conversation in a longer form. I don't know how busy you are, but if we could get you off air right now, we'd like to talk to you a little more about this later because Stugatz, nobody's done this job on this subject. We all sort of skipped merrily past it. It's like the legitimate scandal of our time,
right,
in a new journalism form. And I want to get to the meat of what it is that he feels like this ended up proving.
I just want to know if the games were rigged. I mean,
okay, you and that too. We'll get to the answer to that too. All right, Tim, please, we'll get you off of air now. We got to get back to Rick Renteria talk. So I'm sorry that this was interesting and, you know, the scandal of our lifetime, but you don't understand us around here. If you don't understand me having to tell stories about the family friend mustache Rick Renteria, so get out of here.
Time to justify our unreasonable salaries.
You're going to let me know, by the way, if the games were rigged, right?
There's not enough room, Stugatz, to talk to these people in a way that's meaningful.
You could have brought him back for a second segment, but you promised Rich Renteria.
Mike is yelling at me, stick to Renteria! I mean,
it's so odd. We had an interesting...
I thought we had an interesting journalism conversation going on.
Don Lebatard.
Stugatz, as far as I can tell, was given ears for no good reason.
Stugatz.
Unraveling.
Uh-huh. That's what he does. He unravels. Well, he leads the league. If unraveling was a stat, Dan, no, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Lebatard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and the Big Suey on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Lebatard & Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Well, here is the Straight Talk, all right? We're under it here in Miami with the network on our neck here trying to survive. And I'm telling you that Tim Livingston just did journalistic work that our company did not do. His podcast, Whistleblower, is an 8-year investigation into were the games rigged? Were the games rigged of our league partner here? Like, we just got done partnering. Walt Disney World just got done partnering to bring you an NBA season in the most happiest place on earth. They managed to do that to save everybody's money, and they managed to do it with our help.
Livingston spent 8 years doing that. We spent 8 years arguing who's better, LeBron or Michael.
That's correct. Yeah. That's what's happened around here. So I've rarely seen this kind of passion around here recently, and it's always 90s baseball that does it to us. I wanted to continue that conversation. I can't. There's not. You can't accuse the league of fixing games in 4 minutes between sponsors for Dr. Pepper. Like, it's not possible to do.
Fansville.
You understand what I'm saying. Like, you can't have a substitute.
I don't know why. I'll never be able to explain it.
What do you mean you'll never be able to explain it? In that case, it's just because you're so good at juggling monkey of sponsorships. Like, that wasn't your nickname strength. That was you just being sold like a prostitute.
Totally fair.
So 90s baseball is the place, though, that brings this joy out every time. And what I'm telling you is that a young Billy Gill, I haven't even gotten to Chris Cody yet, Rick Renteria, it sounds like you basically had a Rick Renteria poster in your house, Billy. Is that right? You probably had cups or something.
Well, first of all, we need to get the bottom of something that's been bothering me. Because Rick Renteria is also known as Rich Renteria, and his baseball cards say both. And he was a family friend of yours. So when was Rich Rich, and when did he become Rick? What is going on with his name? Because how can he have two different names?
It's a good question. I mean, you know him best, Dan.
Is it? He is a family friend, as I mentioned. Maybe I took my mom out to see him. He's such a nice man, impossibly nice. One of these Sean Casey types, Stugatz, or Tim Kirkshin.
The mayor.
Sorry. Come on, your timing. Come on. Come on. I know it's a small window, but you could have gotten in there a second earlier with the mayor. I should have probably left the pause. It's my fault. Know your teammates.
There was no pause. Exactly. You went very quickly right to the next word. There was no bridge.
You were not going to be deterred by that, though. So anyways, my close family friend, the mustache Rick or Rich Renteria.
I couldn't let that window close. I mean, I'm sorry.
It had to be kicked open, that window?
Yeah.
All right, so Mike Ryan, this is why, though. It brings a joy that sweeps throughout the studio and is contagious. We just mentioned Orestes Destrada. Did you figure out yet, Billy, who was at that signing wearing sunglasses? Was it Chuck Carr? Like, who was it?
No, it wasn't Chuck Carr. It was like, it was definitely someone that thought they were a lot bigger than they were. That's probably somewhere next
Richie
to my
Lewis was
ball.
That. Richie Lewis was that. Richie Lewis had the big giant chaw. He had all the curly hair. He thought he was a rock star. Look at how Roy's laughing. Roy, you remember Richie Lewis passed for swag in 1993, spinning these giant streams of tobacco juice on the foul line.
Richie Lewis coming out of the bullpen. Yeah, I remember him. Man.
Big breaking ball. Big breaking ball.
Was it Kurt Abbott, Billy?
Oh, wow.
No. It wasn't Kurt Abbott.
All right. Well, keep thinking of this because, anyways, the point is that Rick Renteria has been wronged by by the Chicago White Sox here.
It's not even the biggest wronged he's been by Chicago. Remember, he was the Cubs manager, and they ousted him for Joe Maddon after one season.
It worked out, though.
Well, yeah.
Can we get the exclusive Rick Renteria interview since he's such a family friend and has been for
down.
A long time?
I've been trying to get him today to surprise you. But
are we
going to
make him a so South far. Beach session, too, because there's no room to do the show anymore?
You can join him on the Tim Livingston one.
They're both going to be on there. I'll just keep going back and forth. All right, get Rich Renteria for after the show as well. All right, work on that right now. So yes or no, Billy, you had a poster or cup or something of Rick Renteria.
I had he was part of my 52-card Marlins inaugural season deck of cards, but I didn't have a specific Rick Rich Renteria poster. That was reserved for Benito Santiago on my wall.
I got it, Billy. It was Brett Barbary, wasn't it?
Ooh. No, it wasn't Brett Barbary.
Great name. Oh,
Brett Barbary, this was a scandal in 1993. I reported in the paper. Orestes Estrada got very mad at me because I reported Brett Barbary was going to go the entire season as a virgin.
Barbs.
Come on, Stugatz.
I mean,
Stugatz.
Yeah, leave some space.
No, you got to give me some room to work. I was going down the virginity track, journalism, reporting, while talking about Rich Renteria and Richie Lewis instead of Tim Livingston and the fact that games might have been fixed.
Don Levitard.
Texter writes in, that last segment was a garbage locomotive careening into a lake of molten failure.
Stugatz.
Oh, the Beatles are overrated. Wow.
Whew. This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line today on ESPN Daily. The NBA bubble is closed. ESPN's Malika Andrews breaks down her last hours in Orlando from behind the scenes post-championship to what it means to re-enter reality. It's got to be weird. And what's next for the league? That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Mike, why are you so, why are you moving around like this so much?
Oh, it's a great song. It's America.
70s music here.
I don't know. Why don't we do the end finally and find out?
All right. Let's see. Really, really a show within a show. A little look at Mike being rebellious. This is the show we're going to become. Rich Renteria and talking about 70s music.
And Neil Diamond. But don't worry. We're going to get younger with the end finally.
I could safely say that for years, me and Mike have loved Neil Diamond. Not just today. Not just
we
because we're getting older.
We can't become that show. We can't
no,
become
but we've always
we
loved Neil
we
Diamond.
We can't be the show that loves Rich Renteria, the Buffalo Bills, and Neil Diamond, and the Tampa Bay Rays. What kind of radio show is that?
I'm forever grateful because of my association with this show, because it put me in a position to have someone with Neil Diamond's camp reach out to me and say, hey, I know you love Neil. Come sit first row for one of his shows.
Oh.
It's one of his final shows.
Oh.
Thrill of a lifetime.
Oh. When? Where?
When he played in Broward, like it was like the concert started at like 7 p.m.
Bank Atlantic. Sharp. It was like, that late?
Well, like last night's NFL game. Don't tell me all you young people who are actually old didn't say, oh, yeah, 7 p.m. football?
Well, I got news for you. This Monday night, there's a 5 o'clock football game.
Early bird. Early bird.
Woo!
Christine Lacy, if you didn't know, snorted herself some Bills football last night, and it fell apart on her. And you know, but she's still hopeful. So, Christine, here she is with her kazoos.
And finally, the long-awaited sequel to Coming to America will forego a proper theatrical release and will debut on Amazon Prime at Christmas. How about that?
How about that?
Thank you, Christine. Appreciate your time. Oh, right back to it. Get down. 70 style on AM terrestrial radio. Look at this. You remember? You guys remember when we felt this way about America? Some of us. Some of us, a certain segment of the population.
I don't get what he's doing with the music. Theme.
You mean white people, Dan?
Thank you, Roy. I always appreciate when you're the there for me, helpfully. Yes.
No problem.
This so good is
Land of Liberty. Today.
Yes, my friend. We lived in one kind of America, and Roy lived in a totally different kind of America.
My country, tis of thee.
Yes. Wait a minute. Who is that?
That's him.
No, no.
That's Neil.
That's just Neil.
The dash of Pablo Torre. Yeah. My country, tis of thee.
Yeah, there is some. Yes.
Every day, I'm going to give you the greatest sports.
There's
story.
Some Gruden in there, too, though. I just heard some John Gruden.
They're all very close
they
together.
They all live very close together.
I haven't heard from them in so long. You're so busy producing back there, pushing so many buttons.
I like to call him Slam Newton, man.
So let's get back to where it is that we were, please, because there are a couple of things here. First of all, I believe this is going to be a week-long celebration of Rick Renteria until we land the interview with Rick Renteria. We are chasing down a wronged Rick Renteria.
I mean, what's he doing?
To tell stories about my family and having dinner with us that one time 30 years ago and me taking my mother to see him because, again, he was the secret weapon, one of my family's favorites. It's a underdog Hispanic story coming up through the Marlins minor league as a surprise, looking a bit like a plumber. And again, go Google search him. He's the same age as Tom Cruise. Life's been hard on Rick Renteria, but he is a sweet, sweet man. One of the sweetest you will ever meet. But he was not good at, I'm told, I don't know this, but he was not good at the analytics of the game. It's why they fired him. The White Sox were good.
Okay, they made it to the playoffs. I mean,
I know, but it's all that stuff about the
you
secret
weapon. You have to make
weapon.
It to the playoffs with analytics?
The secret weapons. I've got guts, guy. They're a good young team. The White Sox believe that they could have been better than falling apart at the end of the season against Cleveland, and then you know they had a late in the season when they could have won the division, they fell apart, and right. And so yes, it was a successful season, but he's not being fired because this weird season ended in just a playoff victory. Mike, you're laughing just because of how I'm going to do this all week. I want to talk Rick Renteria the remainder of the week.
I mean, it's a story everyone's talking about.
Okay, but beyond that though, Billy was saying we've been dying to know. So, Billy, tell us, set us up again. You are how old and you are where at what kind of mall? Just paint the picture for us of what's happening here because that 1993 Marlins team of Rick Renteria, he was the last roster pick. Stugatz has been asking me for years, Mike Ryan, for years. Please let us descend into the sewage this way, doing 90s baseball, telling old war stories about Rick Renteria.
Next week, I have a great story about Bobby Ojeda.
Well, you were telling a hypnotized Stugatz. You were just telling a hypnotized. It was Billy. It was like you were sitting on Stugatz's knee. You were so interested in his stinky Bobby Ojeda story.
Well, because what happened, Dan, was you were saying how your family had this loose connection to Rick Renteria, and I told Stugatz that my family had a loose connection to another Cuban who was just living in a normal neighborhood, Rene Arocha, who lived across the street from Mike Cousins. And then he told me who his neighbor was growing up, Bobby Ojeda, and he told me a ridiculous story about him that I did not know.
Right, so I told Billy a story, and I'm pretty certain that Billy thought I was lying when I told him the story.
What's the story?
Well, Bobby Ojeda lived a few houses down from me, and he was doing some gardening work, okay, during a very important run for the New York Mets, and he had a hedger out, and he hedged off part of his finger, and he was out for the remainder of the season. He couldn't pitch anymore. And so I lived like four or five houses down, and Billy said that must have been the most valuable finger in the neighborhood. To which I explained to him all the Mets live there. Dwight Gooden lived 10 houses down from Ojeda. I mean,
That's what I also learned, Stugatz, and I grew up very differently.
Okay, so is there any more Bobby Ojeda information that you want, or the slicing of the finger is where we're stopping and I can get back to Rich Renteria or Rick, depending on what angle you're taking it from?
I got Bob Ojeda and Sid Fernandez stories at Finn McCool's out on Port Boulevard in Port Washington after games. I got walking into Dwight Gooden at Jack's Stationery. Dwight was completely hungover. I was just buying a pack of baseball cards. He was buying a paper and some cigarettes. I mean, I got stories.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I got stories of me babysitting for Lenny Dykstra's kid. I mean,
wait a minute.
I do. What do you mean?
Wait a minute. The scam runs that deep through your childhood?
I mean, the 86 Mets lived in my town.
Hold on a second.
It was a great route.
One of the most drug-addled. That is one of the shadiest teams in the history of sports, and you babysat it? Like, wait, explain to me. That is with those Mets teams. Hold on. Is that what we're going to do? We're going to segue from Renteria even deeper into late 80s Mets?
I mean, nails.
Come on. All right.
Dr. K.
Mike, this
Bobby
is,
O.
This is what I'm telling you, Mike. The rest of the week and maybe the rest of the month, I want to spend here, okay?
Right. And here is just setting up that we're going to talk about it without actually talking about it.
But are we going to get to Rich Renteria? Are we going to get him on the line? I want to inflame the controversy. There is tension in Chicago. This is an old school managerial argument. They fired the nice guy who goes with his gut. He's the secret weapon. He doesn't believe in the analytics after a hugely successful season. Very successful by the White Sox standards, and they're saying, no, we got to get smarter, and he's a family friend, and he's got a wonderful mustache.
Well, they're looking into hiring Tony La Russa and Ozzie Guillen, so we'll see what happens.
No! No! Yeah. Not Ozzie Guillen! No! Who is the Marlin who was wearing sunglasses at the autograph signing? I need to get to this. Like
Kurt Abbott.
Who? What? Because I've got a guess for who it is, but I was reading, lip reading during the break, and I think somebody might have said it and been better than mine. If I go all in, yes, Billy, if I go all in with Junior Felix, I think it was Junior Felix who was wearing the sunglasses and was self-important, but somebody I think they nuked me by saying Geronimo Berroa, one of the pinch hitters. Who was it? Well, first of all, paint the picture of the autograph signing, and who was the Marlin who was taking himself too seriously?
Okay, so it was 1993. Young Billy Gill was there. Now, I've gotten reports from my father, who was also there, so he's told me who the Marlin was. And I was there, and I had my binder filled with 8x10 photos of the Marlins that I bought at Eckerd's Drugs, because that's a thing that they used to sell at the drugstore. They used to sell 8x10s of baseball players, and you'd put them in your binder, in the clear paper, the transparency things, to keep them fresh and safe, and then you'd show your friends, look at all these pictures I have. Now, apparently, the way that this autograph signing went at Miami International Mall was there were supposed to be three Marlins there signing autographs, right?
Wait a minute. Let me just pause right here, okay,
yes.
Because we're out of time. I just wanted to appreciate at Miami International Mall, because how old were you? What were you wearing? You were in all Marlins gear, right? Like, you were crazed. How old were you?
I was five or six. How would I know what I was wearing?
Billy, because you're a hoarder of these kinds of memories. It's the only place that I could get you this kind of sports engage. Billy, it's the happiest I've seen you during the pandemic talking about Geronimo Berroa.
Don Lebatard.
Let's go States.
Stugatz.
Let's go States.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. For a chance to win $10,000 plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Lebatard Show gang, text Lebatard to 77333. That's it. Lebatard, Lebatard. Oh, this is good, Mike. To 77333, Adventure Auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See advanceautoparts.com for details.
We can't be this show that goes back to 70s America, 90s baseball. We can't be this show. This is not the show for the modern times. Are you guys trying to do a parody of the liberal woke show that I'm interested in doing?
We just like Neil Diamond.
You're yearning for a different America.
He's reading way too much into it, man.
Yeah, we just like Neil. Yeah, that's it. Always will.
I don't feel like you guys are being fair to me right now. You're trying to make American music great again. You're trying to make it the 70s again. I'm talking Rich Renneria and old-timey baseball. Stu Gatz, not surprisingly at all, delved into a secret Mets underworld that involved a great deal of cocaine and scam and babysitting Lenny Dykstra, who is probably the foulest of anything birthed by sports in the last half a century. Like, sports has not belched out something worse than Lenny Dykstra
in
50 bleeping years. And there's a murderer, O.J. Simpson, who got away with something with our friend Carl Douglas's help.
I also, 30 years later, according to a reliable source, have an update on the Bobby Ojeda story. It may have been that his wife cut his finger off.
Wait a minute. Come on. You don't know that.
Mike, it's reliable. I'm telling you.
What do you mean?
He lived two houses away. I was four.
You're not a journalist. You're not a journalist. What are you doing? I don't want Ojeda's private life, according to your seedy, shady sources. We're a reputable ESPN brand around here.
Maybe Tim Livingston should look into that.
Mike, you're not going to make us that radio show, but we deserve it. As Stu Gatz wants to talk about Bobby Ojeda and Pistol Pete, and I'm insistent. Give my Latin brethren and family friend Rick Renteria, or Rich, depending on how Americanized you've made him. I want to get Rick Renteria on the line. I don't know if you guys are interested in this at all. How about talking to my mother about the family's relationship with Rick Renteria? She was heartbroken to hear the White Sox. I took her to see Rick Renteria when he was the Cubs manager.
I know, but it seems like you didn't take your dad. Was there friction there? What happened? You haven't mentioned your dad this entire conversation.
A troubled time in my family's marriage. They really hit the rocks there, Stu Gatz. That's why I disappeared for 6 weeks in October. My parents were infighting, thinking of divorcing after 50 years.
Because of Rick, huh?
My mother's torrid affair with Rick Renteria. That's the scandalous part I didn't want to tell you. Rick Renteria, again. Google him. The age of Tom Cruise. Please stop doing this,
no.
Mike.
No.
Billy, who was the Marlin who was taking himself too seriously? And tell me more about 6-year-old Billy at Miami International Mall.
So I was at Miami International Mall waiting outside of a Champ Sports. I don't know if it was Champ Sports in 1993, but it was a Champ Sports equivalent that was probably bought by Champ Sports because it's still there. Right. Anyway, so it's supposed to be three Marlins advertised. It was Jeff Conine, Daryl Whitmore, and the other one is TBD. I don't know who that was yet. I'm going to look into that and I'll figure out who that was supposed to be. However, they brought along their friends to go to the autograph signing as well. So there was a long line of people excited to meet the Marlins and get their autographs. And one of the friends brought along Richie Lewis, who was in his giant Oakleys. And I believe, if I remember correctly, he had cut off sleeves at the time and he was showing the guns. Now, Richie Lewis was hanging out there, but Richie Lewis refused to sign autographs for anyone asking him for an autograph, even though he was at an autograph signing, because he was not one of the people who was scheduled to appear. So it was Richie Lewis who refused to sign autographs. Now, that's only the second most notable autograph signing snub that I have in my past as a childhood. Do you want to know the first? Good question, Dan.
Not really.
The first autograph snub signing, and by the way, my dad tells me to this day, you have to be nice to everybody who goes up to you, who wants to take a picture, wants to say hi to you. You have to be nice to all those people. You don't want to be like Richie Lewis. Still tells me that to this day, 27 years later.
All right, Billy, I want to hear the end of this story. We've got less than a minute left, but I am dying to hear where this story ends up.
Well, it tells me, don't be Richie Lewis. Who wants to talk to Richie Lewis now? And it's a good question. Now, the number one autograph snub signing of my childhood, man who I've still not forgiven, who I went to see on his farewell tour, Cal Ripken Jr. Everybody went to see him his final season. And what was old Cal doing when everybody wanted to see him and get autographs?
That's when America was great, right then.
He was hanging out by the Teal Monster, Dan, in left field where no fan could get to him and no autographs had to be signed. I will never forgive you, Cal Ripken.
He was a man of the people.
Compiler. Cal Ripken Jr. He was a compiler.
What? Oh, Billy!
Yeah.
Billy!
And selfish. Never took a day off.
Compiler? Billy!
When you play that many, exactly.
Billy!
Selfish, never
it was
took
a better
day
time
off
in America!
Compiler.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.